and you're listening to the Martinez Perspective. How the hell are you doing on this White Power Monday, ladies and gentlemen? Hope you're doing well. Good to see you. Hope you had a great weekend. A White Power weekend, indeed. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Playing a little tune here. A little tune from, who's this from? This is by Zurius. It's called Pray for a Savior. Pretty badass tune right there, if I say so myself. What's good in the hood, ladies and gentlemen? What's the big news? What'd y'all do today? You know, what is your daily routine? I bet you're going to your little slave jobs, right? Going to work? It's always interesting to ponder what people in our movement do for a living, you know? Can you're existing under the surface there? You're hiding out, you're pretending you're a normie. Pretending you're just a little normie, man. I don't know anything. I ain't red-pilled. You know? That's what you gotta do. That's what you gotta do to keep things moving, right? To fit right in. Slip under the radar. Can't blame you, man. What has to be done to survive in this world? This dangerous world of ours, right, ladies and gentlemen? Well, what's on the agenda tonight? You can send me a super chat. Just check in the description there. As usual, reminder, sign up for my Gab account. Subscribe to me on there. Subscribe to my website, martinezperspective.net. You know where to find me, folks. And, of course, Telegram. Where y'all are chirping away in my chat room all day long, aren't ya? You're all in there, you know, arguing with each other, giving each other your hot takes. Man, I gotta get out of that habit of getting in those chat rooms, man. That Telegram thing. I remember I shut that down at one point when I first got on Telegram. And it got big, and I was like in there all fucking day, arguing, debating people about this, that, and the other thing. And it's just a waste of time. It's a very, very much a time killer. You could be doing more productive things with your time, man. You could be hitting the gym. You could be looking for a trad wife. You know what I'm saying, Negro? Could be doing a little trad wife hunting. See, that's what you ought to be doing. Instead of arguing with these spurgs on the internet, these trolls, these little fucking dindus. You don't even know who you're talking to online, right?
You don't even know who you're talking to online.
What do we got here? I got a couple memes. Well, let's put this one up. This is, got some fatties doing a little run here. Oh, take a tumble. Take a goddamn tumble. These women, man. What's with these fucking women? Got their running clothes on. That's just total cringe right there, folks. What else do we got? We don't got much. We got some good activism happen recently. This is a group from Spain. Tearing down the LGBT flag. Good work, bros. Good work. Job well done. See, that's what you ought to be doing. See, this is the thing, is like most of these people, they just sit online on Telegram, seething and doing nothing. And then they complain about everything, right? So they do nothing, sit on the internet seething, and complain about everything, right? Well, if you don't like what you're seeing in your country, you might want to get active, you know? You might want to get out there and start fighting against it, resisting it. Or else what do you have to complain about? You're complicit. You're the one who's sitting around doing nothing. You're the one who's letting them take the streets. You're the one who's letting the queers and the BLM people do what they want to do. And you're not doing anything to fight back, are you? No wonder we lost. No wonder these people say we lost the culture war. Well, yeah, because we don't do anything, do we? We just complain on the internet. Some good activism by Arian Bacon. Arian Bacon, he's going hardcore with these van stunts. They painted up a big U-Haul truck with some based slogans and were triggering the live in California. California, the libs are getting triggered, man. They're getting fucking, they're steaming. Look at them. Diversity, what does that say, diversity? Heart cell or civil rights, Yiddish for ethnic cleansing of whites. There it is. Urban moving systems. So sad. California is a beautiful place, right? Very beautiful place, and it's been taken over by the dregs, the absolute dregs. There she is, man. These Negroes.
Negroly faggot.
Bagger! These mutts. It makes sense that all these people that get triggered. Like that guy there, this fucking loser right here. This guy literally cut them off and pulled up in front of them and stopped the truck and was like taking pictures of them. Like, total queer, man. See, the homos and these mutt people, they really get mad when you tell the truth about it, right? It's like a biological instinct. How dare you? How dare you question my presence here, you racist? Says, homosexuals cannot reproduce, so they must recruit. Sodomy. See, they don't like when you say stuff like that, do they? Because it's true, right? They know it's true, and when they hear it, they just don't want you to say it. They know it's fucking true. They just don't want you to point out what they're doing, recruiting other homosexuals, so they can butt fuck each other. That's why they go after the youth. That's why they get after the young. They want to capture the minds of the youth. Drag them in. So they can expand the sexual marketplace. Right? Like they're expanding the ass cheeks of their faggot lovers, right? Here come the little fucking dindus coming to vandalize the truck. Well, that's illegal, isn't it, you little fucking Negroes? See, when you say it's the ethnic cleansing of whites, they don't want you to say it. they get fucking mad. They get livid when you say that this is an ethnic cleansing of whites. That's exactly what's happening in California. Look at this guy, man. Faggot! Oh, these faggots showing their asses. We got a little fucking Chicano over here, man. A little fucking Pedro, man. Seething! Look at this fucking nigger. He's seething! There he goes! Keep chasing, fucking negro. The violent responses, man. They just got all these. Oh, this bitch. Look at this Jewish bitch. Oh, just go straight to the degenerate comments, right? It's amazing the reactions they get, man. You dirty fucking fight.
It's the best.
Yes, bitch, absolutely.
What do you love about
anal? What the fuck is it to you?
You're disproportionately STD carrying.
Shut it down.
Oh, look at this fucking bald loser.
What do you think of her message?
Like it.
Hey, bro, what's up?
A man
up?
With a head on his shoulders. People want to...
This is some real trolling, right? This is some in-person trolling. This is like Omegle, but live. Live from the streets of California. Trolling him. He's really stepped up his game, Mr. Aryan. Yeah, it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. Can't really beat it. Driving around with that thing. Those dudes are getting sophisticated with the activism. I gotta say, I'm quite impressed. Props, man. Yeah, don't have many more memes to comment on. Oh, I got this one here. This is, Putin's gonna save us, man. Putin! These magatards, their savior, their hero, the Messiah has fallen, right? Donald Trump is out. He's lost the election. He was going to save the world. He was going to take down the pedophile cabal and the deep state, right? Even though all the people he appointed to high positions were pretty much the pedophile cabal and the deep state. But it's all going to plan. He's actually going to be, he's still going to be president next year, right? He's going to take power. And now that he's gone, they've replaced Trump with Putin. Putin. Putin's going to take down the deep state. Putin's going to expose the Biden biolab deep state, you know. I mean, they were saying that from the beginning. During the Trump presidency, remember the Democrats were accusing Trump of being in collusion with Putin. Putin helped him get elected, and that stuff was exaggerated. There were some like actual links, like it was like they were just playing off each other. But so then it was kind of like the situation where the Democrats had more dealings with Ukraine than Trump did. Trump was more tied in business-wise to Russia. He had a history of doing business in Russia. And so, like, it just worked out politically where, the Democrats would accuse Trump of, being in bed with the Russians, and then the Trump team would accuse the Democrats of being in bed with the Ukrainians, right? It's just a stupid election ploy. And they're still doing it. They're doing it yet again, right? With this Ukraine-Russia war. They're both, like, accusing each other of, you know, corruption and all this stuff. These people need a hero, and so they need a messiah. They're going to find one no matter what. You know, whoever's just there, they're going to use that person as the next messiah. It's all a fucking LARP, though. It's all stupid. It's all based on mythology, on total speculation, wishful thinking. I remember back when Trump was running for office, these alternative media gimps were inventing all these fairy tales about Trump. Like, remember one time Trump, he went to a meeting with these Jews, right? Like, this Jewish group. And basically he went there and said, you guys are ruthless, man. You guys are really ruthless. But he was saying it as a compliment. He was saying it to congratulate them on how, you know, vehement they are in pushing for their agenda. And he was not saying it to, like, attack them or criticize them in any way. But these Trump-tards seized on that and tried to use that as some kind of proof that Trump is anti-Semitic. He's really anti-Semitic. He's really our guy, man. He's secretly aware of the Jews, and he's going to take them down. And they do the same shit with Putin. Like, they do the exact same shit with Putin. Like, one time Putin made a comment where he's like, 85% of the initial Bolsheviks were Jewish. But he was saying this at a opening ceremony of a Jewish museum, which he donated a month's salary to. And he wasn't saying it necessarily to criticize them. He was just saying it as, like, kind of a fact. And then all these, like, Putin-tards were trying to use that as proof that Putin's, like, secretly an anti-Semite, and secretly he's going to take him down. And they also use another thing where, like, Putin, he got into a squabble, a political fight with three or four different oligarchs that happened to be Jews. And he basically seized their assets, forced them to leave the country. And then he just replaced them with these other Jews that were more loyal to him, right? He got rid of this guy called Gazinski, and he replaced him with Abramovich and Levayev and Vexelberg and Rotenberg brothers. Like, he just kind of, like, took these guys out that weren't loyal to him, and then put these guys in who were loyal to him. They basically all of them were Jews. The ones who weren't loyal, the ones who were. And so he just shuffled the deck cards a little bit, and people were using that to say, look how based he is. He's going to take down the Jews, right? But all he did was just empower other ones and then make anti-Semitism illegal, right? People will grasp at anything, really. They really need a savior. They need a hero. They want this, like, big, strong, powerful leader to come and save the day, you know? But it's not good to latch onto things that are not real, that aren't actually happening, you know? You know, attributing to Trump and Putin things that they don't believe, things that they're not actually doing, this is delusional. You're just fooling yourself when you do that. And it really, basically, the people with this mindset of hero worship, they want to hero worship a politician. These are people who don't do anything. These are people who don't want to do anything. These are people who are impotent, lazy, and they just want some guy to come and save them. They don't do any activism. You know, they're not out there making a change that they want to see out there in the world. They just are hoping and praying that this guy comes and saves them, right? Always the case. Some news out of the Ukraine, Russian troops opened fire on Ukrainian protesters. One hurt after gunfire and stun grenade explosions ring out at Kherson demonstration. While Putin steps up his war of attrition by ordering Navy to bombard port of Odessa. Civilian areas in Odessa were struck by naval artillery. shopping mall in Kiev was bombed, leaving 8 civilians dead. So, there was a protest in this city called Kherson. And apparently they shot at the protesters. Or they shot near the protesters or trying to scare them, but it sounds like gunshots. Almost sounds like they're just massacring them. I don't think they did, but they were doing tear gas. Maybe they're shooting above their heads or something, but it sounds like they're just mowing people down, doesn't it? How dare you protest our invasion? So that city, where is that city? I think it's in, it's down here in the south, near Crimea. Mariupol's that other city that's under intense attack. Yeah, right here, Mariupol. That's another one that's been fucking destroyed. Yeah, it says soldiers fire over the heads of protesters. I don't think they killed anyone, but you can bet that they're gonna probably start killing people who protest their occupation. Thousands evacuated from Mariupol, a city is being wiped from the face of the earth by Russian shelling. Fall of Mariupol has been devastating, and the invasion would mark a major battlefield advance for Putin's troops, who are largely bogged down outside of major cities. Thousands evacuated. 6,600 people were moved out via humanitarian corridors on Saturday, but this was substantially down. 4,100 people more left the devastated southeastern city. More than 350,000 people have been sheltering there with no access to food or water. As the Kremlin said, its forces were tightening the encirclement after bombing and cutting it off from the Sea of Azov. See, that's where they get that name, Azov Battalions, because that was the city that they set up in. Near the Sea of Azov in Mariupol. The city's destroyed, has been left unrecognizable. Buildings from apartment blocks to shopping centers have been completely destroyed. Well, he's just liberating you, man. He's there to help you, dude. Just blowing up your cities and your apartments, and it's all good for you, guy. He's gonna save you, man. Yeah, the fucking retards were saying that this was like some kind of hoax, or like they say this about everything, right? anytime they bomb like a civilian target, out come the Putin tard trolls who say, it's not real, man. It's all crisis actors. It's fake. Okay, what, do they CGI this video then? It's all CGI and green screens, man. None of it's real. People literally believe that. They're so delusional. They're so, like, stuck in their little fucking Q-tard LARP that they just don't believe literally anything that shows up on their TV screens or on some mainstream news website. It's all CGI, dude. Like, these are the types of people who believe in, like, flat Earth and stuff, right? There's certainly some crossover going on between flat Earth and these people who think this invasion is either not real or is any civilian deaths is faked, man. It's all fake, right? It's all CGI. Yeah, it's just pure contrarianism, right? It's like everything that comes out of the mainstream media, they disbelieve it. They think it's fake. Because the COVID stuff was exaggerated and the numbers were exaggerated and the politicians were lying about stuff like that. And so, we should just not believe literally anything that we see that can be confirmed easily. All of it should be tossed out. Zelensky backs Israel as good place to host peace summit. It's kind of interesting and kind of questionable that Israel is going to be the peacemaker in all of this. Like, Israel, they're loving this. Israel's loving this situation, right? Because it takes attention off of their thing and what they do over there. And then they can come out smelling like roses. Oh, look, we brokered the peace deal between these two countries. We're the good guys. It's the Jews. The Jews are the good guys, are the peacemakers. Tikkun Olam. Healing the world, Goy. Bunch of Jews. Prime Minister of Israel, Bennett's trying to find a way to hold talks. As an ally of both Russia and Ukraine, Israel has been cautious about taking sides. Russia has heavy military presence in Syria and controls its skies, and as such, Jerusalem coordinates all military strikes on Iranian targets in Syria with Moscow. Maybe they're all in on it, you know, maybe they're all doing it, maybe they're all working together, who the fuck knows? You can't really prove anything these days. There's so much smoke and mirrors going on. But, you know, these guys, of course, remain safe. It's kind of suspicious, you know. They're sitting in their little palaces and their nice golden chairs where everyone else dies. Why don't these two niggers just have a fucking fight, you know? Why don't they just go into the boxing ring? These two little niggers right here, go into the boxing ring and sort it out yourselves, you fucking Jew boys. That's not what they're going to do. They're going to turn into a meat grinder, as they have. Keep grinding it up. Keep grinding it up. And it's like the people on either side, they're just forced to do it. They're forced to fight. They're fucking drafted. Zelensky wouldn't let males, you know, fighting age males leave the country. I think Putin has a draft in Russia. So they're just throwing the goyim into the meat grinder. And there's nothing you can do about it. Pretty sick. This firm hired 1,000 employees in India after CEO fired 900 staffers over Zoom. Chief executive of Better.com, Vishal Garg. Oh, yes. A poo skin. He's apologized how the firings were handled. Took a short hiatus. Better.com chief executive fired 900 staffers. The cuts essentially moved a larger portion of its workforce offshore. The online mortgage lender had been aggressively hiring in both India and the U.S. for most of 2021 to try and keep pace with the wave of financing. But a recent regulatory filing shows that GARG's infamous Zoom cuts, which followed the U.S. Federal Reserve's sudden switch on interest rates, fell much harder stateside than in low-wage India. The geographic shift, which effectively added 1,000 employees in India, could help Better.com stave off a downturn that's left the company with declining revenue and higher expenses as it prepares to go public. It disclosed that its fourth quarter net loss may reach $182 million, that revenue fell as much as 22% from the previous quarter. Oh, so he just fires everyone? And like, I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, is it a coincidence that this guy, this little poo face right here, hired a bunch of Indians? Do we believe in coincidences, folks? He's just acting in his own racial self-interest, isn't he? Don't ask that question, though. That's racist. How dare you ask that question? How dare you make that inference that this Indian has racial loyalty to his Indian people? And that played into his decision to fire all these American workers and hire a bunch of Indians. Anyone who knows these Indians knows how they operate. They are tribal. They stick together. I've met these people. I've seen them. They take over entire neighborhoods. They only rent to other Indians in some cases. They take over businesses. They take over entire districts. They only do business with other Indians. Well, they'll sell you the cheap shit. They'll basically sell you the cheap shit. Well, they take over your neighborhood. And they're allowed to be tribal. They're allowed to do this kind of shit. They're encouraged to do so. These brown people, these brown third worlders, are encouraged to look out for their kind first. But you're not allowed to do that, white man. That's racist. This is what you're going to get, and this is all that you're going to get. When you import a bunch of Indians and Pakistanis, they will stick together. They will side with their own people. They will advantage their own people. They will hire their own people. They will pass up white people for jobs and give it to their brown Punjabi brethren, right? Punjabis. Hindu. And then they have the nerve. These people have the nerve to criticize whites who don't want the immigration. They have the nerve to come at us and be like, you're a racist bigot if you just want white people in your country. Yet they have the same attitude for their country of India. And they have the same attitude when they come over here. These people skirt taxes. They engage in nepotism. They offshore jobs to India to help their own people. And then when they get called out on it, they call you a racist and play the race card. They know how to play the game. They know how to grease the fucking wheels on this one. They know it. Homeless career criminal repeatedly throws nurse, 62 years old, downstairs in a light rail train station. This is indeed the new reality living in our multiracial hell holes called big cities, folks. Look at this filthy subhuman animal. attacks an old woman, throws her down the stairs for no reason whatsoever. Look at this savage. Look at this savage. What he's doing. Tosses her down the stairs like a rag doll. Then he goes back for seconds. Helpless old woman. This is sick, folks. Doesn't get worse than this. These subhumans abused our people. And of course, you know, this is a daily occurrence. This is routine in the big cities. Imagine living in New York City. Imagine living in Los Angeles or Paris or London, and you're seeing this all the damn time. Because these Negroes, these Mohammedans, these homeless career criminal subhumans, this is just what they do. Right? As that Muslim mayor of London said, just get used to the terror, goy. Kafir, get used to it. This is just part and parcel of living in a big city. The terrorism, the violence, the knife crime. Blowing up stadiums like in Manchester and shooting up concerts like Bataclan in France. It's just part of living in a big city, Goyim. Kafir. It's just a symptom of the multiculturalism. You have to get used to it. It's just a little side effect. It's a speed bump, okay? It's a speed bump. We're going to have to get over it. We're going to have to move forward. Just ignore it, Goy. Don't make a big deal. Don't make a fuss. Okay, you racist. Seattle crime is up. Well, what do you expect when you have these progressive leftists controlling these cities, these major cities? They defund the police, of course, because they want these Negroes to get away with it. They want these lowbrow, homeless bums, these drug-addicted fucking Negroes to get away with their crimes. Like, they're fucking... they're off their head in drugs, man. A lot of these roads. There was a shooting in Florida. Just some crackhead Negro just goes and randomly shoots a guy at a restaurant. Like, this is unheard of, man. 1950s USA, Canada, Australia. Unheard of to have a senseless murders like that take place. It's only with the advent of multiracial policies that this is a thing. Of course, we got black privileges still in effect. Jussie Smollett released from jail amid appeal charges that he faked a hate crime. So he was sentenced the other day. I played the clip of him tweaking out like a little savage that he is. Tweaking out in court saying, I'm not suicidal, man. Released from jail Wednesday, hours after Illinois State Appellate Court ruled he could go free while his lawyers appeal his conviction for staging a hate crime. 39-year-old left jail in Chicago flanked by two of his brothers and three bodyguards, said nothing as he ushered in the light-colored SUV. He had been behind bars for 6 days, where his lawyers said he did not eat and consumed only ice water. After being sentenced to 5 months in jail following his conviction on 5 counts of felony disorder conduct for lying to police. So why is he being released? They filed an emergency motion to postpone his sentence on Monday, and an appellate judge found that because Smollett had been convicted of nonviolent offenses, the court would allow him to be released from a Chicago jail on a $150,000 individual bond during the appeal. Under the terms, Smollett would not have to dig into his pockets to get out of jail and would only owe money if he skipped his court dates. Oh, so he doesn't even have to pay it. He doesn't even have to put up the money. He just gets a release from prison. So they're appealing this case? Multiple false reports are made against black men all over the country. Nobody cares, said the lawyer. We've been complaining about the disparate treatment of African Americans in the judicial system. Should black men be walked into jail for class 4 felony? Shame on you. Ah, there he is with his little black power fist. Look at this little Negro. This guy, man. This guy's the biggest joke in the world. Black power. Fakes a hate crime. Gets caught red-handed. Embarrassed. Embarrassed in front of the whole fucking world. And this stupid Negro continues to lie his fucking ass off. Continues to play the race card like a dindu, good little professional race hustling dindu that he is. And he continues to get off easy, folks. The judges are going easy on him, letting him out early. No bond. This is black privilege right here. Oh, you're so persecuted, Jesse. You're so persecuted, aren't you? Ah, the stupid nigger. Look at this guy. He kept the noose on his neck when the police showed up at his house. How fucking retarded is that? He fakes the hate crime, puts this stupid noose prop on his neck, and leaves it on there for a couple hours, and then the police go to his house just so they can see the noose on his neck. What a loser. This guy's not too bright, folks. I mean, he's just going to get... Okay, he's going to appeal it, and he's going to get convicted again. Because the evidence is absolutely overwhelming that he did it. It's just a shame we have to live with such people. It's good to be a white refugee, says this fucking towel head. Wajahat Ali. He says, white journalism's empathetic to Ukrainian refugees, but sees black and brown people fleeing war as uncivilized. Well, yes, because you are. I'd strongly recommend being white and European if you must flee your home as a refugee under the threat of violence, war, and oppression. Obviously, we should do our best to help the nearly 1 million Ukrainian refugees, regardless of their skin color or origin. Why? Because they're innocent, blah, blah, blah. It seems whiteness is what magically transforms you into a civilized human being worth saving, as opposed to inferior black and brown communities who are also seeking refuge from horrific ongoing catastrophes. Unfortunately, many media colleagues in the US and Europe suffer from what I refer to as white journalism. The most unfortunate byproduct of white supremacy that colors and distorts the worldview in which white lies, white pain, and white anxiety are recognized, centered, and exalted above all others, especially black lives. The double standard reveals itself in media coverage, framing, language, political support, and empathy. You might have seen the viral clip of CBS correspondent Kiev telling his colleagues that Ukraine isn't a place with all due respect like Iraq and Afghanistan that's seen conflict for decades. Yeah, there was a couple clips of journalists saying, like, these people are white, you don't expect to see this. Former Deputy Prosecutor General of Ukraine appeared on BBC, says, it's very emotional for me because I see European people with blue eyes and blonde hair being killed every day by Putin's missiles. Commentator in a French program says, we're not talking about Syrians fleeing bombs of the Syrian regime backed by Putin. We're talking about Europeans leaving in cars that look like ours saved their lives. Yeah, you're seeing this kind of this racial consciousness starting to brew up, even in the libtard media. Even the libtard media is taking notice, right? They seem to have more interest in, and good. That's a good thing. Of course, Wajahat Ali, this brown supremacist, he doesn't like seeing this. He doesn't like seeing white people empathize more with other white people. He wants them to put his little Dindu race on a pedestal, right? We have to always exalt and genuflect at the altar of brown victimization, brown victimhood. It's the browns. We must worship the brown and the black skin. We can't have in-group preference. Only this guy with his towel head, only he can have in-group preference. He will deny you the right to in-group preference because it doesn't serve his agenda, which is to replace you with his own people. He doesn't like refugees when they're white. He loves them when they're brown. He wants you to love them when they're brown. But when they're white, he complains about it. He says, how dare you be white and a refugee at the same time? And how dare these Eastern European countries accept them into their countries and reject the brown ones? Which is what's happened, right? Poland, Romania, these countries, they did reject those Syrian refugees, Hungary as well. But they're not rejecting the Ukrainian ones because they're compatible, see? They're compatible. And they're real refugees. You saw the fucking pictures, right? You saw the pictures of the fighting-age male brown refugees from the Middle East and Africa, and then you saw women and children from Ukraine. They're real refugees. They're not economic migrants. They're not little sponge parasites. They're trying to get in just to find a better life. They're not even fleeing conflict zones. They're fleeing poverty. And they're lying about their status. They're seeking asylum for being political dissidents or something. No, they're not. Maybe that's true in a few cases. But these Ukrainians are real refugees, and they definitely will plan to go back to their homes. Afterwards, you really think they want to be in a different country? Do you really think they love this situation where they have to flee their homes? Of course not. But yeah, we should have more empathy for them. Because there are people. There are tribe folks. It's time to be a tribalist. It's time to really come out of the closet as a tribalist. A couple other stories here. Zemmour, this guy is still going over there in France. The pro-white Jew. Zemmour supporters attack, doused with gasoline as French presidential race heats up. Following a spate of leftist attacks against the Reconquest, candidate Eric Zemmour's six supporters were drenched in gasoline while draping a banner on a bridge for the populist firebrand in northern France. Two men, aged 24 and 26, have been arrested. Yeah, there's been many reports about this, how at his rallies, these leftists come and attack his supporters and try to break up his rallies. Of course, the violent radical left. They don't want to see anyone, even remotely right-wing, getting into office. It was the same when Trump was running for office, right? These people are certainly right-wing enough for the left to hate him, that's for sure. They might not be right-wing enough for us, but they're right-wing enough for the left to seek their destruction. Antifa communist riot outside the candidate's campaign event. Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of Antifa activity in places like France, Germany, UK. There's tons of Antifa in those countries. There's tons of communists. Shit-eating communists. Who want to have open borders. And this little Jew boy is talking about the great replacement. This Jew boy here. He says, my duty was to save France from the great replacement. France could be Lebanon in 5 to 10 years. Yeah, so he's says the populist candidate of Berber Jewish heritage also wrote online that he felt it was his duty to rescue the nation from the Great Replacement. I could have remained a journalist and writer, but I felt my duty was to save France from this Great Replacement. Yeah, so there was a poll that said one in six? I don't know, something like that. It was like a large number of French people believe in the Great Replacement, believe that it's real. Well, of course they believe it's real. They see it happening. You can go to French cities and not see a single white person in the crowd. You can go to parts of Paris, it's just all Africans, like the darkest charcoal-skinned Africans. Entire boroughs of Paris, it's all Algerians and Moroccans and North Africans. And this Jew himself is a North African. That's kind of ironic, isn't he? He's a North African Jew. And he's gonna talk about the Great Replacement. It's kind of ironic, eh? We're in such a situation that the people leading the fight against the Great Replacement are Jews and non-white people. It really is bizarre. And, you know, many people on our side will question it and say, like, well, why should this guy be the one leading the fight? You know, does he really have our interests at heart? Or does he just want to control the dissent? It's hard to know. It's hard to tell. But at the end of the day, the fact is that his rhetoric is definitely helping the right wing in France, regardless if he's controlled opposition or not. He probably is. I mean, he's certainly not going to go anywhere near where we would go in terms of like the JQ and stuff like that. But the fact is that his rhetoric is empowering and emboldening our side. In France, at least. And he's opening the door for this. He's normalizing the talking points, the Great Replacement. This is like being talked about now in mainstream television in France. That's a good thing, isn't it? This Jew is doing us a favor by talking about this publicly. Yeah, he probably wants to control the dissent. He probably wants to prevent a real white nationalist from getting in. But the fact is that, you know, if you see something like this, you got to be doing a better job, you know? Instead of just complaining that this Jew is running the show over there in France and he's the one talking about it, well, you got to be talking about it. You got to be getting out there. You got to be doing the activism. You got to be drawing the spotlight to yourself. And then you can eclipse him. Then you could beat him. And then you could be a rival to him and have even a better platform than he has. Right? Fortunately, you have him and then you have Marine Le Pen, who's probably worse than him. She's not Jewish, but she's a woman who's moderated her whole message over the past several years. So, you know, it's just, it's the problem with electoral politics. It really is like these well-connected people. This guy's a journalist. He's already a well-known TV personality. He's got backing. He's got financial supporters. That's really the only way you can win an election, a modern election. You got to have big money and big media giving you attention. So, but things are quite dire in France. Things are quite dire. Major cities in that country have been completely colonized. You're a dirty nigger. Pro-Trump, pro-Zemmour black activist abused by Africans in France. So even the niggers are calling other niggers nigger. Supporter of French candidate Zemmour as well as President Trump has been attacked in Paris by men described as being African and North African origin. See, they will call each other niggers when they don't fall in line, right? Uncle Toms, that's what they call them. The American blacks call the pro-Trump blacks Uncle Toms. You kind of have to be a bit skeptical as to why these blacks are like supporting this, right? Like, are they just doing it for attention? Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes these brown and black people will just take these kind of pro-white positions just to get their name out there, just to be a face. And ultimately kind of control the dissent in their own way, right? These like brown and blacks conservatives will come out and be like, yeah, we're against the Great Replacement, man. Even though they're like part of the Great Replacement, like, well, what are you advocating? Like, it seems like those blacks that will pretend that they're pro-white, it seems like they're just rats on a sinking ship or something. They're trying to get their spot on the ship and sustain their spot on the ship, aren't they? We're actually pro-white, man. We actually are against the Great Replacement. Well, then why are you here? Why don't you deport yourself? Why don't you catch the first flight out of here, boy? Instead of just like telling us that you support us or something. I don't get this, man, but you've seen this kind of phenomenon. We support you in your fight to stop the Great Replacement. We're just going to continue to live in your country, though, right? We're going to continue to live in your country and probably race mix with white women. Twitter suspends Babylon Bee for naming Rachel Levine this disgusting transgender Jew. Man of the Year locked the account of the right-leaning parody site after it named Levine the transgender Biden administration titled Man of the Year. It was a reaction to USA Today's naming of Levine as its woman, one of its Women of the Year. Oh my god. This is such clown world, this fucking Levine character. It's almost like it's a show. It's like a joke. It's a fucking parody. This fucking man, this dude, is a parody. He's like an SNL character or something. I can't even believe this is real. This is almost just like a stunt. A media stunt. Like the elites are just using these freaks to humiliate us and demoralize us. You know, they're like, oh, well, look, now you have Jewish trannies running your government. Like, it's just incredible. And we got this story. I had brain surgery but kept taking nudes in my hospital bed for OnlyFans. Yeah, this is a filthy harlot, ladies and gentlemen. Taking nude photos is always a no-brainer for OnlyFans model Ruby May. She stayed devoted to her followers even when she was forced to undergo brain surgery. She kept it sexy during the hospital sojourn when she was admitted for surgery, taking NSFW snaps while in recovery for 5 days, and posting a steady stream on her fan page. See, this is why women need to be banned from the internet, folks. Disgusting harlot. Like, these women are addicts. They're attention whores. They're dopamine addicts. Filth. This kind of behavior, normally in a healthy society, behavior like this would be absolutely shamed, if not legislated against. Right. I can think of a number of useful laws that could be put into place to prevent this kind of behavior. It should fall under like obscenity laws and stuff like that, but you know, those have all been shot down because the cultural Marxist Judeo-Bolshevik social engineers wanted to unleash the female. Unleash the sexuality of the female and have her profit off of her body. It really is an addiction for these women. They're lusting for that attention. She can't even go a week without posting nude photos on her OnlyFans. When she's in the fucking hospital after a surgery, she's that addicted. She's on crack, folks. She is a crackhead. You have to take away the tools that she's using to spread her smut. You know? Really is sad for our race to see this going on. But there's too many simps, there's too many dudes who put up and tolerate this garbage. Like that faggot on YouTube who made a video where his girlfriend says, "Oh, I got an OnlyFans." He's like, "Great. Good for you, girl. You're real independent, aren't you? Showing off your snatch and your tits to random dudes online for money." And these beta male simps are okay with that. Because they have no cojones. They have no testosterone. They're femboys. They've been castrated. Really is. These women are just doing what's in their nature to do, but it is the men who need to be putting them in their place. It is the men who need to be shaming them. It is the men who need to be putting their foot down, calling them out. And then only then will things start to change. You know, we can't just pass a law tomorrow saying OnlyFans is banned. And of course, we want to do that, but it's not something we're allowed or we can do at this point. And so we have to do other things. Shaming them publicly. I used to do that on my website. I used to write articles criticizing these women. And it worked, dude. It really did. They would find these articles. I'd plaster their face on the thing. I'd put a title called, like, "Filthy Whore, Filthy Harlot, Reprobate." Put her name in the title. Put her picture. Write an article just, you know, skewering her. Posting her video. Mostly TikTok sluts, and they would find my articles, and they would be mad about it. They would threaten to sue me. They would complain. They don't like to be shamed. There's a website called Colfax that shames mud sharks. It fucking works, dude. They were calling the police on that website, trying to get it taken down. One bitch tried to get my whole website taken down. Shaming works. Yeah, this is all she is, her big fat tits. That's all she is. That's all she's worth. That's all she'll ever be worth. And no self-respecting man should ever get anywhere near that woman. All right, folks, I'm going to go check the Super Chats. If you want to send me a Super Chat, do so now. Check in the description. Or if you got a question, throw it into the regular chat there, and I'll have a look at it. I see a couple tokens there. Give me a minute, folks. I appreciate it. We got two Super Chats here. Let me just check a second here. We got one from Bath Messenger. Says, hey, MP, love the show. How would you describe what really happened in World War II? Looking for Lithuania info, too. Wondering if you watched Gottman's Jews for Hitler. And if you agree with that analysis, white power. Well, thanks for the message, my friend. I appreciate it. How would you describe what really happened in World War II? Well, it's not something I can really summarize in a short period of time. It's kind of a very complicated subject, isn't it? You got many factors at play. It's one of the most distorted subjects out there because, of course, the victors write the history and they can say whatever they want. They can claim just about whatever the hell they want, and that's exactly what they did, didn't they? With all their little horror stories about electrocution conveyor belts and steam chambers and all the rest of it. Yeah, I'm a skeptic of the official story of the Holocaust, as you know. But as far as like the war itself, I think some people on the revisionist side on that topic might go a little bit too far and not exactly have the evidence to back up some of their claims. Like, obviously, Hitler did have aims to take back land that had been taken from Germany and given to surrounding countries, Poland, Czechoslovakia, and so on. And he did want to take back those territories, so he did get himself into a confrontation with Poland. Now, my opinion is that he shouldn't have done that. That to solve the issue with the Sudetenland and the Danzig and all of that, he should have invited the Germans back into Germany instead of doing this thing where he marched into Poland and then gave the UK and France an excuse to declare war. Like, that was the excuse that they used to declare war. And if he had not done that, I think the war could have been averted. 60 million of our people churned up in a meat grinder over what? A little tiny strip of land. And this is, I mean, it's a similar situation in Ukraine right now, right? It's a fight over land. It's a fight over, you know, geopolitics, security. You know, this is the issue with this kind of territorial nationalism, and I've criticized this in the past, is that a lot of people, a lot of nationalists have this idea that we have to, like, sustain this particular territory. Like, we need to hold on to this land, and we can't lose an inch of land. And we need to regain that land, right? And that's basically what Putin's pushing right now. And he's not even doing it in, like, an ethno-nationalist way. He's doing it in this, like, gay, multiculturalist, Eurasianist way, where he just wants to incorporate everything into this Russian empire. He says things like, Ukrainians are brothers, or we have blood ties. And that same sentence he says, Chechens and Dagestanis and 300 ethnic groups in Russia are also our blood brothers, and we're all the same people. Like, well, what the fuck does that even mean? But he's using that as an excuse to go into these territories and take them back. He's using other talking points at the same time, but that was one of his talking points, right? This used to be our land. It was the same thing he said about Crimea. Well, you can say that for any fucking big country and empire. This used to be our land. This used to be our land. Well, it's fucking not anymore. You know? Who cares? Instead of trying to expand your territory, why don't you contract the territory to the white ethnic group, to Slavic Russians? But he's not going to do that. Because he's not an ethno-nationalist. He's a Eurasianist fucking faggot. But that's a lot of the wars in Europe are caused by this territorial disputes all the time. That's like the main cause of wars between white people. That's why I'm not big on this territorial thing. I'm like, who cares where it is, how big the piece of land is? It's whites. We can make something of it. Potato Enthusiast says, thanks for the streams. Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. All right, that's it for the Super Chats. A couple white powers over there on Odyssey. Thank you very much. KFC says, can you talk about the Havara Agreement? I've seen people call Hitler a Zionist stooge because of it. Yeah, he had a deal with Zionists to transfer Jews to Palestine. I mean, makes sense. He wanted to get them out of Germany. Many Zionists had the agenda to move them out of Germany too. It was a amicable way to deal with the Jewish question. I don't see how that proves he's a Zionist stooge or something, right? I mean, I kind of bought into that. Went back in my anti-Zionist left-wing days. But I never really said that he was a stooge, right? I mainly just said that he kind of played into the hands of Zionists in that way. But, of course, like that could be said for any so-called anti-Semites of that era, right? Including the Tsar, including even the government of Poland had similar views on the Jewish question. And it's like the Zionists, like Theodor Herzl said this in his book. He says the anti-Semites are our best friends. Now, why do you say that? Because anti-Semitism kind of paved the way for Zionism in a sense. It gave Zionists a purpose. And it pushed Jews out of Europe and into Palestine, which is what they wanted. Now, does that mean the anti-Semites are just like puppets on a string for the Zionists? Of course not, right? It's just, it's basically a common interest. It's like the Zionists wanted to set up a Jewish state for Jews, and they needed to convince Jews to go there. Now, how do you convince Jews to go to this desert? Well, they have to be persecuted. They have to be convinced that they're not safe in Europe. And of course, anti-Semites, quote unquote, were willing to do that. It was just, a common interest. But yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of like conspiracy theories and stuff. Alpha says, "Do you take Bitcoin donations?" Yeah, if you look in the description, the number 31 says crypto there. What was this other comment? Stadnoise says, Hitler made generous concessions to Poland in regards to Danzig. Yeah, I don't know exactly what were the terms and stuff that he gave. But even so, I think that invading it didn't do any good because it just ignited the World War, right? You know? Even if Poland, you know, was being belligerent, didn't want to deal with Germany, whatever, I still think that avoiding a war of 60 million deaths of white people, the absolute destruction of our race, is better than not getting your way with Poland, right? I don't support brother wars of any kind. And so I think the best thing of that, the best solution there would have been to invite the Germans back into the German mainland and given up that territory. You know, it's just a piece of land. You know, I don't get the obsession with the land. So that would be one of my critiques of Hitler. You know, I think he had, his domestic policies were mostly quite good. But some of his foreign policy was a bit too interventionist, a bit too expansionist. And it contributed to some of this stuff. Well, I mean, I think Hitler would have known that this would have ignited a war because he knew that there was a guarantee given to Poland that if they're invaded, that Britain and France and these other countries will back them up, right? There was that guarantee. And so he did so knowingly. He did so because he thought he could get away with it, right? And he did get away with it for a while. Then he also moved into the Sudetenland in the Czech Republic, right? He didn't stop with Poland. He also moved in the Sudetenland, Czech Republic, and seized that. The Anschluss, although that was voted on, but he did assassinated Dollfuss, the leader of Austria. He had him assassinated before he had the referendum to rejoin Germany. So, I mean, he got his hands quite dirty, right? I mean, let's not pretend that, like, Hitler wasn't willing to get his hands dirty to get what he wanted. He was. You know, he was really willing to run over other whites to make Germany great again, to make Germany an empire again. And he mentions in some of his talks, well, in the debate with Strasser, he mentioned that he wants, like, Germans and the Anglo-Saxons to kind of jointly dominate the world and so on. So I don't like that attitude because he basically kind of cast aside other white people and kind of treated them as if they were subordinate to him, right? So like Franco in Spain, for example. Franco and Spain rejected a lot of Hitler's demands when it came to the war. And then I've seen statements from Hitler and Goebbels ridiculing Franco, calling him names and stuff. So he kind of wanted to be the big boss in Europe, and I think that caused some resentment, even amongst other right-wing governments and regimes, that he was trying to get that he wasn't respecting their own sovereignty in a way, right? He wasn't letting them make their own decisions. He was trying to boss them around, tell them what to do. And that caused some problems, especially even with like Mussolini and Franco. International Jewry wouldn't have left Germany alone if they hadn't invaded Poland. Yeah, but they wouldn't have had an excuse. I mean, do you really think that Britain would just invade Germany? They know they probably wouldn't win that war, right? There's too much of a deterrent for them to start that war. I think without the Poland thing, they can't get in it, Right. And then the other mistake Hitler made is that he declared war on the United States. Right? He invaded the Soviet Union, you know, some say preemptively, maybe that's true, I don't know. But he declared war on the United States after he invaded the Soviet Union because he wanted to help Japan, or he wanted to, like, appease Japan. And then that gave the excuse to Roosevelt to get right into the European war instead of just fighting Japan because of Pearl Harbor. So I think that was a mistake. Japan should not have attacked the U.S. Yeah, I get there was like some economic warfare and shit going on, but Japan should not have attacked the U.S. They should have attacked the Soviet Union in a pincer move with Hitler, and then they could have taken down Stalin. But they just fucked it all up, right? He attacks the U.S., sucks them into the Hitler declares war on the U.S., sucks them into the war. There was major isolationist tendencies in the U.S. at that time, saying they didn't want to get involved. Roosevelt, like, there was Jewish influence around Roosevelt, but it was difficult for him to sell that war, especially after World War I. Convincing them to get into another fucking World War, real tough sell. Isolationism was a major influence in the U.S. at the time. But him declaring war on the U.S., that just gave him the perfect excuse to jump into it, right? Well, I think that, I mean, I've read all the revisionist stuff on it. I'm just not totally convinced by it. I think that, like, the Holocaust revisionist stuff is quite sound. But then, like, the war revisionism stuff to say that, like, Hitler was, like, some kind of peacenik and he wanted no war and he, you know, like, I get he didn't want a full-scale war with the UK. He didn't want it. He didn't, like, love that it was happening. And he did make many peace offers to Churchill. So, yes, Churchill was also responsible for escalating the war, you could say, and sustaining the war, because he was paid off by Jews and stuff like that. We know the story there. But to say that Hitler didn't do anything to exacerbate any of that, I think that's wrong, right? That case cannot be made in good faith, you know. And that's not to say I don't like the guy at all. I mean, like, you can have some criticisms of these people. I have some criticisms of Mussolini. I have some criticisms of Franco. It's like, you can have some criticisms of these people without, like, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? That's not to say anything about his actual ideology or philosophy. But foreign policy is a particular thing. Yeah, I mean, things could have been done better. Things could have been done smoother, I think, you know. No politician is perfect. So yeah, I wouldn't. There's a number of documentaries. I know where you're getting these. I know where you're getting these points. It comes from that Greatest Story Never Told. I think there's some good stuff in that, but it's exaggerated and it's too tilted to one side to the point where it's just whitewashing everything. It's not accurate. I think David Irving has better, more like rigorous analysis there. You know, he's more credible than that documentary. And there's another one people always point to. I forget what it's called. I think it's called Europa, The Last Battle. I haven't seen that one, but I'm sure it's similar. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could say that Hitler gets too much blame by the mainstream version, but I think this, like, alternative version that is presented by, like, the total pro-Hitler side is that they've just jumped to the polar opposite conclusion. It's almost just the inverse. You know, it's almost like these people who, you know, they see CNN say something and so the opposite must be true, right? And it's the same that they're doing there. you know, the truth often lies somewhere in the middle. But that's it for tonight, folks. I appreciate y'all tuning in, man. Good talk. I appreciate those super chats and questions. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. I'll catch you on Wednesday. Hope you have a great white power fucking week and keep hitting that damn gym, folks. Very important. Put the e-thoughts in their place. Put them back in the damn kitchen, goddammit. We don't need these sluts running around. Shame these whores. It's the white man's land. White women in the kitchen. All right, folks. Take care.